Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into on a Monday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Brandon Deutsch, Grant Mona. Grant, wanted to start with you here. The Dodgers finished out their series with the St. Louis Cardinals by finding a way to come back and win. Again, I mean, a lot to get into on the Dodgers and how they're finding a way to win. Your thoughts, again, old reliable there, although we'll ask Brandon about his thoughts on Max Muncy, but Max Muncy comes up clutch for the Dodgers late. Your thoughts on, I guess, that game yesterday, but also this series in particular? Shohei's not looked great, but your thoughts on the Dodgers finding a way to come back and win?
Yeah, that's just the thing. I mean, they just found ways to win in games that, you know, you really don't think that they have any business winning. And, you know, on Sunday, look, they were down 4-0 for a majority of that game. It looked like the offense was just, it was going to be another uphill battle for that offense. And, you know, on Saturday, it was a lot of the same, right? They had to come back again in that game on Saturday, make a late comeback just to tie the game and then push it to extras. And obviously they didn't close it out in extras. But, you know, on Sunday, it was a game that looked again like the playoffs last year. I keep pushing this narrative that, you know, a lot of their games right now look like the playoffs of last year. And, you know, towards the later part of these games, they're starting to figure it out and get it together. And it's not really the big three that's figuring it out. It's actually, yeah. It was, like you mentioned, Max Muncy. It was Teoscar Hernandez. It was James Outman. There's a lot of guys in the bottom half of the lineup or after the big three that are getting it done on the offensive end right now. And you know, I know Mookie Betts is playing at an MVP level. His offense is off the charts. He's honestly looked the best I've seen Mookie Betts look since the 2020 year. And, you know, even so, they're struggling to find ways to score runs in the early parts of games. You know, it's a good series win. You know, it's a convincing series win. Look, they won the series 3-1. Yeah. Against St. Louis. The first two games were very convincing, but the last two, it just looked like they kind of took their foot off the pedal a little bit. Gavin Stone looked very solid as that fifth starter. He had a really good outing on Sunday Night Baseball. But yeah, Max Muncy came through. Look, I don't think the issue with Max Muncy has ever been his power numbers. I just think it's the consistency at the plate and it's the defense. And, you know, he's already made a couple errors already on the season. And a few that have actually cost the Dodger pitchers some good amount of runs. But, you know, his power threat is the reason why he's in the lineup. And that's why you keep him in those types of spots. Look, it was a left-on-left breaking ball that just hung over the plate. Usually left-handed hitters don't hit those, and he did. He crushed it. So you got to keep him in the lineup for the power numbers. I understand that. And, with the way that the Dodgers lineup is, there's so many moving parts in the infield right now that you can't really swap a lot of guys out. I mean, you can't keep Mookie Betts, I guess, in right field because you have Hayward and you have a kind of, you have Taylor. If you put Miguel Rojas, you're sacrificing some offense. Gavin Lux hasn't looked that great so far this year, and I'm sure he'll get better, but, you know, it's been a slow start for him and Shohei both. So, you know, Brandon can attest to this a little bit more about Shohei and clutch situations, but, you know, it's a good series win, but now there's a real test, Arash. This series against the Giants are no joke. People think that this is a team that's rebuilding. They had a great offseason. They have a great rotation and they have a great lineup. So I'm excited to see this upcoming series.
Brandon, your thoughts on the way the Dodgers have looked so far this season? Again, to Grant's point, you know, two impressive wins or convincing wins to start this series against the St. Louis Cardinals. But the last two games, I don't want to say concerned because, again, we're, you know, very much at the beginning of the season. But your thoughts on the Dodgers series here with the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think it's just, to me, it's like, why are we even talking about the regular season? We know the Dodgers should win 110 games. They have the best roster in the MLB. Like, there's no, they win against the Cardinals, impressive. Like, you're supposed to beat the Cardinals, who are going to win maybe 80 games max. They're not a good baseball team. In fact, I personally think they'll finish last in that division. The Reds are getting better. The Pirates are 4-0, and I knew they were ready for a jump. And the Brewers are still, you know, they still have some moxie. For whatever reason, they always do pretty well. And believe it or not, the Cardinals were favored to win that division this year after finishing, what, with 75 wins or something last year, which is crazy. The Dodgers, look, Max Muncy's going to hit bombs. But we keep seeing it, even in the Cardinals series. The hot corner, Arash, he cannot play defense. That's a serious problem. That's all my thoughts on there.
I wanted to get both of your thoughts, beginning with Grant. Again, this has become a big thing on baseball, especially the national broadcast. Yesterday on Sunday Night Baseball, Kiki Hernandez was, because of his pitch com that got picked up, he was mic'd up for the game, was tipping the Dodgers pitches during the game. Again, not a problem, but I guess something that they have to figure out. Grant, I mean, when you watch that, your thoughts, and again, this is not the first time this has happened. Like, I guess a two-part question. I mean, your thoughts on that in particular, but man, you know, listen, I get that baseball is trying to bring in new fans, but it is still odd to see a player mic'd up and having a conversation with the broadcasters during the game.
Yeah, I'm going to answer the latter of your question first. I don't like them interviewing players while they're on the field. I don't like them interviewing them after they hit a home run when they're in the dugout. Wow. I just don't like it. I know you're trying to bring, you know, more of an intimate experience to baseball fans, but just judging by when I played, I wanted to be locked in every single pitch. I wanted to know what pitch is being thrown. I wanted to know what my positioning is. I wanted to know, you know, everything that's going on from pitch to pitch. And at the major league level, it's the same thing, right? Like when I was in college, we had a wristband and they called a number and we'd have plays every single play, every single pitch. And I just think that it would be very distracting to have to talk to somebody and try to be funny and they're asking funny questions while you're in the middle of a game that counts. I understand maybe doing it in spring training. I understand maybe doing it in the All-Star game. But in games that count towards your record and that you're trying to win, I don't like it. Second of all, the pitch com and this whole situation, pitch com, I think it's really cool for the game. Obviously, there's been a little bit of issues technicality-wise, you know, just with getting it on the right frequency and all that. We've had to have players switch them out. I think that, you know, the interviews in game kind of contribute to this. If there wasn't an interview during this game, I don't think it would be an issue at all. It was just that we actually heard signs called. And I saw somebody, I don't know who it was. It was somebody on X that said that during that sequence, when Kike Hernandez was, the pitches were being broadcast over the air to ESPN, the Cardinals actually got three hits on all of those. And I'm not going to say that there's a correlation, but it's just kind of odd that the Cardinals got three solid hits off of Gavin Stone at the same time that Kike Hernandez's pitches were being tipped on air on the live broadcast. So I don't think it's an issue, really. I just think that they have to be careful. Like I think ESPN's the only one that does it right now. Because I don't think Bally Sports does it. I don't think any of the other regional networks do it. So I think we just have to be careful and kind of just, I think there's a fine line we got to watch here, because if you start doing this again and, you know, pitches are being tipped, and again, you could look at stats and say, oh, well, maybe, you know, the teams are listening in on the ESPN broadcast and getting the pitches. I'm not sure. I'm not making that correlation, but it was just a little bit odd that that happened. Yeah. I just don't like the in-game interviews at all.
Yeah, agree completely. Focus on the game. I mean, like, it's just, to me, it's kind of ridiculous that teams allow it, that, you know, players allow it. If I was in the game, I would be like, I'm not interviewing. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm mean, but like, I'm trying to focus on the game. I hate that they do that on Sunday Night Baseball. It's just ridiculous, in my opinion, and it's disrespectful to the sport, personally.
Yeah, I mean, it's surreal to watch, and I'm trying to envision a casual fan being more engaged because of that. So, like, I get why they do that, but I don't agree why they do that. And again, you two are big baseball fans, played the game, and you don't like it. So, you know, something that they should look at moving forward. Switching gears to the NBA, Grant, got to talk to you about the Clippers again. They have not fared well at home, but they have won 5 straight on the road, really putting themselves in a nice position here at the stretch run. Let me just bring this up right now. If the playoffs were to end, if the playoffs were to start today, they would get the Dallas Mavericks. Again, there's going to be a lot of moving parts here with the way that the Dallas Mavericks are playing, the way that the Clippers playing, the way that the Pelicans are playing. Again, no one's going to catch the top three teams. That being said, you really got to have like a log jam here with sort of, you know, the Clippers, the Mavericks, the Pelicans. I got to imagine, I mean, it's hard to say. So I'll pose the question to you. I mean, we have not liked for the Clippers, the Clippers-Pelicans matchup. What do you think about a potential Clippers-Mavericks matchup?
I don't want to see Luka at all. I don't want to see Luka in any playoff scenario ever in the history of the NBA. He is that good, and he gives me nightmares whenever I think about the things that he's done to the Clippers over the past 2 postseasons. And I know that the Clippers have won each series that they've played. Like, they've handled the Mavericks, even though it took 7 games the last time they did it. But Luka in that type of situation, especially now he knows that he's lost twice to the Clippers, he's going to be more motivated than ever. And now he has Kyrie Irving on his side, and they have a lot of size to match up with the Clippers. I think that the Mavericks are one of the better teams in the West right now. I think they can beat a team like the Nuggets. I think they can beat a team like the Clippers. I think they can honestly compete with anybody, just the way they're playing and you know, the type of talent they got at the trade deadline. But here's my thing with it, Arash, and this is just, it goes, you know, with everybody. Excuse me for the noise if you can hear that. But I think that if you're the Clippers, you can't worry about who you're going to play, because you're going to have to play somebody good eventually anyways. And the West is so good right now that it's going to be a gauntlet for anybody. There are no easy matchups in the playoffs. I know you can look at matchups that are easier, but there are no, you know, foregone conclusions about any matchups 1 through 10 right now. Yeah. Every team 1 through 10, in my opinion, is going to be a tough out. So if you're looking at matchups as a Clippers and say, oh, I don't want to play this team, oh, I don't want to play that team, I just think that's a bad mindset. You're going to have to beat the good teams anyways. You're going to have to beat the great teams to get to the pinnacle of the NBA and to the championship anyways. So play who's in front of you. I don't, you know, I know that Clipper fans, you know, are scared of the Pelicans and the Mavericks, but you're going to have to play one of them, or you're going to have to play, you know, they're not good matchups either way. So yeah, you're going to have to play either one of them. And, you know, if the team is good enough, they'll beat them. But if they're not, we'll know. So I think that we got to just stop looking at, you know, what matchups here, because you're going to have to beat great teams no matter what if you want to get to the finals.
I mean, if I'm the Clippers, I want to play New Orleans over Dallas. If I had to choose, you know, it's because, first of all, Dallas is the best team in the Western Conference right now over the last 10 games. They just curb stomped a team that had won 11 games in a row and just looked really dominant. And Ime Udoka's Houston Rockets. Luka's been the best player in the NBA for the past 2 weeks, even though Jokic has been great. I think he's closing the gap on the MVP as the Mavericks rise in the standings. And if they can finish in the top 4, I think they might give Luka the MVP. This is one of those things where last year we saw this with Embiid and Jokic. Jokic was like minus 700 with 10 games to go. And then Embiid like dominated the last 10 games and won the MVP. Like, this is something we could see with Luka and Jokic. And at the end of the day, I think the Pelicans lack experience. When have they ever gotten deep in the playoffs, especially with this unit? Brandon Ingram's been banged up. CJ McCollum is hit or miss. He's inconsistent. Zion, he's playing great, but I want to see it for a full series. I've never seen that from him, right? So, like, to me, if I'm the Clippers, knowing that I have Kawhi Leonard, who's won a championship and still can be Kawhi Leonard, and even Paul George, as much as Grant hates him and his inconsistency, he's been there. He led the team to the Western Conference Finals one year. I'd rather have that. And Harden's great in first-round series. He's just not great when you get deep into the playoffs, right? So I would much rather play New Orleans. I think Dallas is the team right now that I can see most likely beating Denver, because I think Luka can go toe-to-toe with Jokic. And the way Luka's playing, I mean, that could be a team that wins it all, that really surprises people.
The good thing about the Clippers now is that they have a two-game lead above the Mavericks and the Pelicans as the fourth seed. That does give them home court advantage, whether they play the Pelicans, whether they play the Mavericks. Wanted to get your thoughts, Grant. Again, you know, we had a lot of questions about the Clippers team as they went on this road trip. And, you know, we were trying to figure out, listen, I mean, how are they going to fare? Well, to be honest, they've won three straight.
Yeah.
And they've done it. And again, we mentioned this during that controversial, even the officials say that they made a mistake. Well, you know, they beat the Sixers. And I said, you know what, at the end of the day, sometimes when you just get that first win, sometimes if things break your way, that's all you need. And they kind of continued that when, you know, they beat Philadelphia, they beat the Magic, they've beaten Charlotte. A big game tomorrow as they go to Sacramento, and then they come home to play Denver. Again, the next two games will be hard, but what have you liked about the way that they've played during this stretch?
The intensity, the focus, the mentality, that was all that it took, right? Like, you know, Arash, we mentioned, I think before this road trip, we were talking last week and we were predicting the record that the Clippers would have in their next five. And I think you and I both said 2-3 yeah. or maybe, you know, 3-2. And, you know, I thought they would probably lose one to the Sixers or the Magic. They won both of them and they looked very good in both in clutch situations. That's why you get Kawhi Leonard. And then, you know, on Sunday, obviously it was against Charlotte. You know, that's a team that you should beat. You should beat them by double digits. They did. Their defense, again, they allowed 23 three-pointers, which tied a season high for the Hornets. But, you know, you'll take a win. Honestly, any win at this point you'll take, and for seeding, for to get home court, it doesn't really matter right now. So look, these upcoming two games against Sacramento and against Denver, these are real barometer testers. Like, if you can go into Sacramento and at least compete with them and stay in the game and even beat them, you know, show that you can beat a team that's, you know, still pretty good in Sacramento. I know they're missing Malik Monk now, but if you can show that, and then Thursday's the real test. Like, if they compete and hang with Denver, I don't care that they lose. If they hang and compete with Denver, if they look crisp and they look like they can hang with them, then I can really have a lot of confidence going into the playoffs, regardless of what happens, because I know that they can flip a switch, right? That's the whole thing with a lot of these older contending teams, is can they flip that switch? And if I see the Clippers flip a different switch that I've seen in the past month or so against Denver on Thursday, then I'll have a lot more confidence and belief in what they can do in the first round and you know, after that. So I think these two are very big barometer testers for them.
Brandon, the Clippers, again, I mean, there was a lot of questions about them during the course of the season. They had a historically great, you know, November, December, looked like they could be a contender for one day anyway, that they were the one seed in the West. Pretty, I don't want to say locked into that four seed, because that would be great if they can get that four seed. They would have home court in the first round. But your thoughts on the Clippers, again, tough stretch before the road trip. They've won three straight. Your thoughts on how they're playing right now?
Yeah, I'm not impressed. I know they were like losing a lot of games, but the Magic don't fool me. Yeah, they've won a lot of games. We know they're going to get swept, or at least in five games, whoever they play in the first round. The East is not good. They've been playing a lot of Eastern Conference teams. And I mean, look, they won that game. Cool. Congratulations. Philadelphia didn't have Joel Embiid, and they got curb stomped the game before against them, right? So, like, they win that game thanks to the referees, not even thanks to their sheer talent. And Grant knows that about that game. And then Charlotte was hanging in with them for like 3.5 quarters. I texted Grant this. I'm like, it was 79-74. I'm like, what are they doing? To me, that, I mean, obviously Grant hit it right on the money. These next few games are going to be important, but I mean, I want to see them against real teams. They get to play the Kings without Monk and Herder, whatever you want to say is how you pronounce his last name. I mean, they should win. The Lakers should win if they play him in the play-in because they got lucky because Monk is going to be out. Monk cooks the Lakers, right? Nuggets, they're going to get curb stomped, but that's only if Jamal Murray plays. Jamal Murray's out, and of course he'd play if it was against the Lakers, but if it's against Clippers, he might not play, right? So that's a dub if he doesn't play, like, easily. Like, come on, you got to beat the Nuggets without Jamal Murray. Like, come on. Ridiculous. And then the rest of the games are easy. Cavaliers, fraudulent. Jazz, not good. And Phoenix, fraudulent. So, again, like, I mean, to me, it's like, I mean, the Suns have a problem. The Suns are not getting out of the play-in. They have to play the Lakers. They are donezo, 100%.
Grant, jump in here. You have thoughts as we close
this. Yeah, first of all, no game is easy right now. I don't care who you are. The Lakers, I mean, yeah, they beat the Nets. So congratulations. I know you guys are going to talk about them in the second segment. So bring up that they played the Nets. Bring up that they played the Raptors, okay? Keep that same energy. Second of all, the Sixers are way better than both of those teams, and they actually played well in clutch situations. Like, Kawhi Leonard was elite down the stretch in both of those games against Philadelphia and Orlando. Those weren't just games that the refs controlled. Okay, the Clippers got a lot of calls against them as well. Tyrese Maxey was stepping out of bounds on a call, and he's out on a ball, and he threw it out into the field of play, and they called it on the Clippers. So there's a lot of calls that went against the Clippers. So it wasn't just the referees. And then third of all, look, I understand that you're going to play teams without Malik Monk, without Jamal Murray. There's going to be players hurt regardless on every team. There's no team that's 100% healthy. So you got to play who's in front of you. That doesn't mean that the Kings are a bad team right now just because they're without Malik Monk. That doesn't mean the Nuggets are a bad team without Jamal Murray. So you're still going to play very quality teams coming up here. It's not like you can just disregard them playing very well in clutch situations. That's what you're going to have in the playoffs. And they went to Kawhi and he delivered both times. It doesn't matter who you're playing. He delivered.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Love that energy, Grant. So we're going to have you back on tomorrow or this week. But as Grant mentioned, and you're 100% right, when we come back, so we're going to leave it there for now. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Lakers, talk about the Final Four matchups that are set, and get into a little bit more Shohei Ohtani. When we come back right here on the Mighty Year 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown when the underground,
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, we are back with Brandon Deutsch, but we are very excited to welcome back to the show Tim Lee. Tim, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. You know, it's the best time of sporting season, I guess. Yeah. Everything's kind of collapsing onto each other, and the rise of women's basketball is not just a welcome addition, but it's not a surprise either. So I'm good. It's a good time to be a sports fan.
Hey, I'm hyped for Juju versus Paige Bueckers today.
Yeah. Incredible talents. Not sure if they're even going to enter like the WNBA. I mean, like with that whole Big Three thing that came into the equation, these women are trying to get paid.
People call it dumb, but Arash, I'll mention it really quick for our listeners who don't know it. I mean, Ice Cube said he offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to enter the Big Three versus the WNBA, where Tim, what's the average salary? It's like what?
70, 90K, I believe.
Okay. So that would, so 5 million, yeah. Like, come on now.
So the reason that makes sense in terms of like, that's a massive number. But when you talk about the TV viewership numbers that Caitlin Clark brings in, and again, you would have to see if it would transfer over. But when you have one of Caitlin Clark's game a year ago, the championship game did 10 million views. An astronomical number. I mean, just to put that number into context, the Lakers, who did the Lakers play Christmas Day today? Christmas Day game this season. Again, it did about
Celtics, yeah.
You know, 2.9, maybe 3. So when you look at those numbers, what Caitlin Clark is pulling in, if you're the big three and you're about to want to sign a new TV contract, if you can promote that Caitlin Clark is a part of your league, that ups the TV value. So we'll see how that plays out. Okay, so much to get into with you guys, and that is part of it, by the way. Big day in women's basketball, and we'll see who wins these two Elite Eight matchups to go on to the Final Four. But it was a big day in Los Angeles. We had the Lakers winning. We had the Clippers winning. We had the Dodgers winning. And yes, getting their first win of the season, the Los Angeles Angels. Brandon, I think we all knew that this was going to be a long season for them. Not that they were a playoff team with Shohei, but now that they lost Shohei, what are your expectations for the team this season?
Yeah, I wrote about it in the Sporting Tribune with Taylor Blake Ward and the whole team that at the Tribune covering the Angels, this article. I think they'll be better than people think. I don't think the first three games are going to be indicative of that. But, you know, Ron Washington does teach moxie. I think that's important. They didn't really have it last year. They're going to be scrappy. I think they're going to stay in certain games. They're not going to be consistent. Talent-wise, they're one of the weaker teams in the league. Don't really have an ace. I would say it's Detmers, and I think it was really smart that Ron Washington had Detmers go against Wells instead of Corbin Burns or Grayson Rodriguez to really confirm that win. Because, you know, they kind of just threw Sandoval. They named him the opening day starter, but let's be real. Sandoval isn't an opening day guy.
Right.
So at the end of the day, Ron Washington was smart putting Reed Detmers on Sunday, getting that win. You know, putting Jose Soriano, who I think is an all-star eventually. I mean, his stuff is ridiculous if he stays healthy out there. I say 80 and 82 is my prediction. That's what I'm going to stand on. I think they get 80 wins.
Before we get Tim Lee's thoughts, we have a very special guest. I mean, this man has not been on the show for quite a while now, but we are pumped to have him. It's Armani Buckets. Armani Buckets, how are you?
Oh my goodness. I missed you guys so much. That's all.
Yes,
I'm good. I hope you guys are well. I love that I jumped in on a Brandon 80 and 82 Angels prediction. I hope that comes to fruition.
On brand, actually. On brand.
Yeah.
All right. Let's switch it up. I mean, no knock on Ron Washington and the Angels, but with Armani Buckets here, Tim Lee's here, want to get everyone's thoughts. Again, we talked about the Clippers in the last segment with Grant and Mona. Got to get our money bucket state of the NBA. Let's start with the Clippers again, kind of playing off what we talked about in the first segment. They did not look good before they went on the road. They have won 3 straight and 5 straight on the road. Sometimes when you get that first win, even if it was controversial against Philadelphia, that can kind of get a team going. Armani Buckets, I think Clipper fans are a little nervous, not only because of the way that they've played as of late, but there's not a first-round matchup that they like. For the longest time, they did not want to play the Pelicans, and now if the playoffs began today, they would play the Mavericks. I don't think anyone wants to play the Mavericks right now. Your thoughts on the Los Angeles Clippers?
Yeah, Arash, I think that's a fair point. I don't think anybody should want to play Luka Doncic right now. If I was the Clippers, I understand their history with the Pelicans, but hey, that team has an injured Brandon Ingram. I would think that even given the history, would be the desired matchup because of the health of the Pelicans at the current time. But my thing with the Clippers is this. I understand the pessimism given the history of what the Clippers have achieved or lack thereof. But hey, the West is still wide open. You have the Nuggets, who this week just lost. I understand Jamal Murray's out, but they just lost to Phoenix. Then they lost to Minnesota. And Murray has missed 6 games in a row with a knee injury. And he, you know, he's a guy that had an ACL tear in the past. If I'm the Clippers and if I'm a Clippers fan, I'm trying to be as optimistic as possible, because at the end of the day, you still have Kawhi Leonard. You still have Paul George, who had 40 plus yesterday. And I don't know if this is a good thing or not sometimes, but you still have James Harden. So,
yeah. Tim, I mean, give me your thoughts as someone who's watched the Clippers again. I mean, for a moment there, you know, they were the one seed. Again, I think it was just one day. But, you know, they look certainly in December, around the holiday season, that they had really figured something out. And now, at the worst possible time, stretch run here, about to go into the playoffs, that they've not looked that good. Your thoughts on the Los Angeles Clippers?
I love, you know, Armand's view of the West being wide open is correct, right? I think that's the optimistic view you have to look at. For every team has a chance, fighting chance, play-in teams. Lakers are obviously in there as well in the mix. But I would like to say that in the history of the Clippers, obviously with health permitted, they haven't really had their full squad to fight against, specifically matchup nuances, right? So Clippers have always been really bad against very slow ISO half-court teams with great range, which is almost comprised of 90% of the Western Conference at this point.
Yeah.
But they've never had their full complement of players. I don't know what Harden's going to be in the playoffs. He's got a sketchy history. But Armani Bucket says, I mean, Kawhi, Paul George, it's still a combination to be feared. I'm just afraid that if the Clippers still have those issues matchup-wise, there's three teams they have to avoid: Denver, Dallas, and, as mentioned before, New Orleans.
Yeah,
I think they need to watch out for the Lakers too. If the Lakers can find a way through this, I mean, the Clippers couldn't beat the Lakers if it was handed to them on a silver platter. They really cannot beat that team. And at the end of the day, the Lakers are scary. Like, we talk about how soft they play sometimes. Like, yeah, they play soft. They almost blew a lead against the Brooklyn Nets because Darvin Ham's infatuated with this three-guard lineup of Gabe Vincent, Spencer Dinwiddie, and D'Angelo Russell for some odd reason. I think he has dreams about this three-man lineup, and I don't know at the end of the day. But what I do know is the Lakers can score at will, and this is something they couldn't do last season. I know the 90 points against the Pacers, as Tim Lee probably remembers, yes, lowest all year.
Oddly enough,
the last game they played the Pacers was the week before, and they scored the most points they scored all season, 150. If they get Vanderbilt back, this is a dangerous team. And I think it's important to note the schedules here, because the Lakers are 1.5 games back of the Kings and the Suns, right? Like 2.2 games back, effectively 3 games back of the Kings, right? Because they're like 2.5, because the Kings own the tiebreaker. Kings and Suns have tough records. Lakers have, I know it's a back-to-back, so they could choke. They're very soft when it comes to back-to-backs. But Raptors, Wizards on a back-to-back Tuesday, Wednesday, they should win both. Let's be real. If they don't, they need to just pack their bags, right? Cavaliers is tough on Saturday, but if they win that game, it's a home stretch where Armani Buckets can tell you, like, this is a team that's going to finish 8 or 7. Like, if they beat the Cavs and they win those games, and then all they need to do is win one of two between Minnesota and New Orleans, and they're set, like, at 47 wins. That should be enough to get them the 7 or 8 seed.
All right, Buckets, I got to get your thoughts on the Lakers again. You know, looking back to a year ago when we kind of had that bet and you gave me a bottle of wine because you did not think the Lakers would get into the play-in tournament. And not only did they get into the play-in tournament, you know, they beat the Grizzlies, they beat the Warriors, they get to the Western Conference Finals. And I did not think that they would be in that position this season. Again, they had the continuity. They brought back that group that gelled so well. But here we are. They're in the play-in tournament. But here we are again, where they're kind of closing out the season, playing well. They've had these, like, amazing moments, you know, where they've come back from 20 in the fourth quarter against the Clippers. They've come back from 19 in the fourth quarter against Milwaukee. Like, they have, when they're at their best, two of the top 10, perhaps even top 7 players in the league. They have a ceiling. Again, I don't think they're as good as Denver. I'm not going out on, like, a limb there. Your thoughts on the Lakers and how far they could potentially go this season?
Well, what an interesting question, Arash. The thing is, Brandon, you nailed it. I mean, this team, when they look at their upcoming schedule, and you saw it yesterday in Brooklyn, Stu Lance mentioned this. How many times did he say it in yesterday's broadcast? LeBron looks like he has an extra pep in his step. He looks like he is extra energized. They understand what's at stake right now. Phoenix, just this week, Phoenix beats Denver on the road. And then how does Phoenix follow up that Denver game? They get blown out by 25 points in Oklahoma City without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The Lakers realize the Suns have the hardest remaining schedule, and they realize that their path to – they don't need to worry about the 7 seed, in my opinion. As long as they get out of the 9 seed and end up in the 8 seed, no. That should be good enough for them. Because they can go on the road if they have to play Sacramento on the road now without Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter. That's a game the Lakers will be favored in. Even given their history, I bet you Vegas would make the Lakers at least a 3 or 4 point favorite. So to answer your question, Arash, even if it's Denver, I'm sure you guys saw the Nick Wright take that, hey, why don't we get the Nuggets as early as possible? Hey, Jamal Murray's banged up right now. I'm sure that they're being more cautious than anything. I'm sure that, you know, he's not fully, he is hurt, but I'm sure that if it required him to play, he would play. Why not? Why avoid anybody? You guys are the Lakers, and LeBron and Anthony Davis are still such a scary duo. And I think back to that in-season tournament when they need to flip that switch still seems like it flips on. Now, last point, you cannot lose to Toronto or Washington. And I think that's obvious. Toronto's lost 13 games in a row. That should be a gimme game. And then Washington, same thing, should be a gimme game. You got to come home then and take care of business. But you get that snowball rolling downhill going into the playoffs. If they can build some of that momentum going into the playoffs, yeah, they're as scary of a team as anybody.
Finley, you saw the Lakers. They beat the Pacers to win the in-season tournament, that they hung the banner up on the wall there. It's crypto.com.
Why are we bringing this up? Why are we bringing this up, Raj?
I'm joking. Tim, that's a long-winded way of asking you your thoughts on the Lakers. And listen, could they potentially go on a similar run that they did a year ago?
I believe Brandon provided, in my opinion, like the most important point. Vanderbilt coming back is going to allow them to not have to start D'Lo, because if you have D'Lo as a starting caliber point guard in your playoff team, you're going to lose the game. The man doesn't play defense. He's legitimately just like a casual who just shoots threes, and if he gets a heat check, then he's actually a valuable player. But you need Vanderbilt there because you need the versatility. And we finally saw, like, honestly, the best of Austin Reeves, and if he can carry this momentum into the playoffs, he's legitimately a 2 or 3 option on the team. And AD, we've already seen it. When he gets to play at full level, he's the best player on earth. The options are there. These are incredible players. I think Reeves being a number 2 or even a 3 option for LeBron gives him a lot of pressure off. And having the added stability of a defensive stopper like Vanderbilt and a great offensive rebounder, in addition to having somebody to take a little bit of the ground and pound from AD, would be like a huge and valuable addition. And just having D'Lo not be the starter is like a huge win, in my opinion. So just having that kind of a lineup in the playoffs is incredibly scary. This is like a team that can legitimately play options on everybody. They have incredible length. They have incredible speed. We saw it last year. It's not going to be a surprise if they end up in the Western Conference Finals again. But as you mentioned, I'm not going to be naive to say they're better than Denver.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone. They've lost, what is it, 7 or 8 straight to Denver. So, like, as much as it hurts to say, like, I don't think they're going to be Denver, whether it's in the first round, whether it's in the Conference Finals. I mean, obviously, it'd be nice to win a couple of games and not get swept. Tim. With the fact that we haven't talked to you any bit, I think you could lend some unique perspective on the Shohei Ohtani story. Again, it will be a lingering story until we find out what happened, which we will at some point. There is a federal investigation. Right. It's a cloud that continues to hang over this team. When you first heard the story, and now Shohei's made his comments, what are your thoughts, and what do you think Shohei was involved in, I guess?
Yeah, unfortunately, I like to believe in the good in people, and I think he just kind of did the same thing where he invested a lot of time and effort with his best friend, right? I mean, obviously, as translator for like 8 years at this point. And it's unfortunate because it's like coming at the apex of what MLB has been trying to do with creating faces of the league. Mm-hmm. With GQ doing a feature on Shohei last year, a little subtle nod to them as well, but I think baseball is really trying to create these faces that the NBA has done a really good job of creating. And to have one of their biggest faces, if not the face of the league, unofficially or officially, depending on who you ask, be mirrored in this kind of like controversy is, it's just unfortunate timing. As far as the actual, I don't know what you want to call it, a scandal, I suppose. Let's just call it a controversy just for the sake of it. I believe there's too little information on Shohei's front, but it doesn't seem like that's the kind of thing that's consistent with his character that he's shown in the public eye. So I would like to believe that he's just not a gambling person. And as a person who knows a lot of degenerate gamblers, he doesn't exactly fit the makeup of a person that would want to thrill seek for $5 million. That would be my 2 cents.
I love Armani Buckets because he's always down for a conspiracy theory or someone lying.
Exactly. Yeah.
Listen, from afar, again, you're not as big of a baseball fan. However, this is a story that transcends sports. Armani Buckets, your thoughts on what's happening with Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you tie this back to basketball, as I typically do, and you had the Jontay Porter thing happen.
Such a great story. Can you just give folks, again, because Jontay Murray is not like as big a star, but I think that's even more fascinating. And why, by the way, that I think it should be legal. Sports gambling should be legal because we found out about this story because you have legalized gambling and you have people going over the bets and looking at it. If you can give folks a quick glance at what happened here.
Yeah, so every player has, you know, individual prop bets that you can place. Like, for example, with Jontay Porter, who is Michael Porter Jr.'s brother.
Less talented,
sure. You know, 4 points a game. Is he going to score over or under? And these huge bets were coming in on Porter under, Porter under, Porter under. And so Vegas eventually got suspicious, saying, hey, what's going on here? And not to mention, in two of the instances, Porter had left the games with, I believe it was, and his eye hurt or his head hurt or he was sick. And so it became a whole thing. And you tie this in with the Shohei thing. My biggest takeaway is that we knew that this was going to happen at some point. When gambling becomes so prominent in society and with the sports culture and everything, now it's going to be, okay, who else is doing this? Who else is involved? And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I think we all understand that this is happening more than we would like to acknowledge. It's unfortunate, but this is the reality of humans. I mean, you know, how many professional athletes do we have? So I actually was reading somewhere that they want to get rid of player prop bets for certain sports. I forget.
I think it was college. And the reason, and a really quick, wanted to get Brandon's thoughts on this. I think people who are on a two-way contract, like Jontay Murray, where you're making less than $1 million and your future is not guaranteed, you are more susceptible to someone saying, hey, do you want to make a quick $2 million? Mm-hmm. Again, with Shohei, who just signed a $700 million contract, would be surprised if he blew that away for $4.5 million. But really quick, Brandon, do you agree? I mean, listen, don't get rid of prop bets, but you have to. Sports gambling has to be legalized so we can see what's happening out there.
It's just crazy that they came up with this. And we're like, once you see Jontay Porter being the number one bet handle of any sports book and prop bet, you're like, okay, it was super suspicious, right? Like, but I get it. He's going to be playing overseas or in the G League. The Raptors are not going to keep him playing next season when they're trying to win games. They're trying to lose, which is why they have him out on the court. I get it, but it's a problem. I mean, we got to find these lines with gambling and players and really set them so that, because right now it's the Wild West with all the sponsorships. Yeah. I mean, the Yankees posted Nestor Cortez over Tays the other day. I'm like,
exactly. You know, with all these leagues and all these teams having deals with FanDuel and DraftKings, you go down the list. It is something that the leagues have to look at. Guys, I mean, this has been my favorite show in a long, long time. We got Armani Buckets. We got Tim Lee, Brandon, Grant. Guys, we got to do this again soon. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.